Today's guest is probably best known to you as the host of KTEP's On Film. And today, in the spirit of awards season, we're dedicating this edition of State of the Arts to all things movies. The idea is to provide you with ample time to catch those films you've missed as we inch our way to the Oscars. I don't know about you, but I have an annual Oscar party to attend, and it's all about having the winning ballot. Here to talk all things Oscars and to hopefully give us an edge on our personal Oscars ballot is Charles Horak. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Sounds like I need to come to your house this year for the party.
So the party's not at my house. It's at a friend's house, but it's a great party.
I'll be your plus one.
You can be. One year we had cookies that were Argo, you know, the rest of that saying.
Right.
And that's what the cookie said. So, you know, everything's themed out.
Oh, look at you.
And it's a good time.
It is amazing. I know a number of people that build up to this and they love that night.
It is so much fun. And I mean, for me, I know you're the film guy, but I got to do the clothes, and I do also write my top five fashion list.
You have a fake red carpet going in the
door. I do. It's a virtual one that happens on Facebook. Me and my friend Amy do this every year.
Good for you.
Great. Yeah.
Well, you are who the Academy loves.
Right. The consumer. Like, just give me the
pretty
package
thing. You're the best case scenario for the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, or people like you.
Beautiful. Okay. So let's talk about people like you that are all up in it and have – what, 130 screeners you said you watched this season or were mailed to you?
There is a massive parallel universe that exists in Hollywood that most people don't see. They see the trailers for the films. They go to the movie theaters. But what they don't know is there's these hundreds of minions at all the studios in awards offices that begin last September working the early groups that do nominations and best of lists. And I'm a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association that puts on the first televised award show of the season. This year it was December 15th. It gets earlier every year. Everything gets tougher and tougher. So in September, October, November, we're getting bombarded with DVDs and Blu-rays of
and
swag and gifts, bribes, if you want to call them that, T-shirts, books, personal letters from directors and actors. It's really shocking what goes on and the amount of money that the studios put to back certain films. So because we're so early in the awards season, campaign season, if you want to call it that, they just throw everything at us. So this year I got somewhere around 130 films sent to me. By the time you get to something like the Academy Awards nominations, which just came out recently, Academy voters are not getting 130 movies sent to them.
Of course not.
By the end of a calendar year, you've got the major awards groups like the Golden Globes and the Critics' Choice Awards and all of the major critics groups like the LA Film Critics and New York Film Critics and such. It's pretty clear there's usually a tight grouping of films and performances that have risen to the top that a certain consensus has built around. And then Hollywood puts the big millions behind those 10 or 15 titles and performances and really start pushing the Academy. And so I know members of the Academy and the director's branch or the acting branch, and they're flabbergasted when I tell them I get 130 films because they're used to getting 10, 15, maybe 20 at the most. So it's already pre-selected sort of what they're looking at. Now, that doesn't mean that an Academy voter can't vote for a really great film they saw sometime the year that doesn't have a campaign behind it. But what is fascinating is that often with all of these groups, as well as the Academy Awards, is when you look at the titles that come out as nominations, every one of them had a campaign behind it.
Wow.
And so it does make a difference when a studio gets behind something or chooses not to. I think Martin Scorsese's film, Silence, is a shocking omission on all of these lists. And
Do you think it was personal?
No, I think it had no campaign.
But it came out very late. Somebody like Martin Scorsese, how does he not have a campaign?
Right, right. It's a very difficult film. I think it may be his masterpiece, but it's almost 3 hours long. It's about some early Catholic missionaries to Japan, some priests. It's about persecution. It's a difficult film. It raises really difficult issues. It's hard to watch at times, but it is the work of a master filmmaker. And it's not a big box office film. And mm-hmm. so sometimes a studio has to decide, and I can't say this is the case at Paramount, but they have this film that Martin Scorsese made. It stars Andrew Garfield, a pretty big up-and-comer. He was nominated for Hacksaw Ridge this year. They look at that and they say, do we want to put a couple more millions into this thing when we're already going to struggle just to break even on a film like this?
And ruffle some feathers along the way, right?
And it also came out. It only played in two theaters just before January 1st, which is one of the criteria to be eligible for an Academy Award, is your film has to have played in New York and L.A. for a one-week run before the end of the year. So you often see films, late breakers like Silence, that are released barely.
Nick of time.
Just so that they will be eligible. And sometimes you see those early films peak. I really thought that was going to happen with La La Land because it garnered so much attention. And, of course, it tied a record with this year's Academy Awards with 14 nominations.
Well, let's talk about La La Land, because I've listened to all the pop culture podcasts and everything. And it's like, well, of course it's going to win. Hollywood just loves itself. That's what people are saying.
It is set in L.A. and it is about the...
I mean, it's about everything and everything and that they
do. Actors
and
musicians trying to make it in Los Angeles, for those who haven't seen it.
It's got all of it. And then, you know, this crazy cast. So how are they not going to vote for it? And then after the Globes, they're like, oh, well, we hear there's a backlash, but it doesn't seem to be that way. It seems like it's still the fun.
Oftentimes, front runners like La La Land that just swept the critical audience and the early awards will peak. You will see them peak, and then you'll have something like a late breaker like a Silence or a Million Dollar Baby that's not released until the very tip of the end of the year. But that has not happened. It has continued its momentum. I think its only real competition this year at the Academy Awards will be Moonlight, because Moonlight occasionally slips in there and surprises people.
Moonlight.
Moonlight is it's the one I'll divulge. It's the one I voted for in all categories.
Oh, good. It's the one I'll be voting for, even though I know La La Land is going to take it and I'll lose at my Oscar party ballot.
There's also something going on this year, I think, that helps La La Land, which is part of the overwhelming success of it with critics and with the box office, I think, has to do with most of the other films being really heavy. Mm-hmm. And this is a year that we finished out in a pretty dark place. A lot of people are challenged, if you could say that, in the reality of our world. And to go to the theater and watch a film like La La Land, which is a musical, which has a lot of bright colors, which is aspirational, it doesn't mean that it's an easy film. I mean, there's these characters struggle, but they turn out okay. It's right. A hopeful film, if you will. It's about creating things, as opposed to films like Fences, which is about racism and the burden of racism, Lion, Manchester by the Sea.
That's hard on the heart.
Incredible grief. an amazing film. Moonlight, a young African-American really struggling with his sexual identity and all the difficulties that brings. So a lot of powerful films and smaller films, but a lot of heavy films. And then you have La La Land that maybe put a smile on some people's faces.
But kind of brings me to this point, or the criticism of last year's Oscars is that it was too whitewashed. And then
Oscars,
you have
so
again
white, the campaign, the protests, the
all of that.
Yeah.
And then you have La La Land against all these kind of more minority films.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that playing out, or what's your theory on?
Well,
that
if the pendulum is swinging, it certainly swung this year as far as the protests last year, where there was no significant African Americans represented in the nominations for the Academy Awards. People may remember there was the hashtag Oscars So White protest. There was pretty much a wholesale blockade by African American producers and filmmakers and actors and actresses of the awards. Just happened that the host was African American and had some choice comments to make right at the top of the show last year. This year, we have an amazing roster. There's a best director, Barry Jenkins, for Moonlight. He's African-American. Moonlight itself is an all-African-American cast. We have Hidden Figures.
That
about,
was wonderful.
Yeah, set in the 60s, NASA, about these African-American women and the challenges they had to be scientists and engineers. You have a film like Fences, which is extraordinary. It's Denzel Washington directing and acting, but also this heavy film set in the 50s about the burden on him and how racism distorts human beings and grinds them down and how they react and how they make the lives of those around them miserable.
Right.
And you have many of those actors and actresses nominated as well. So it's a great year for African Americans. However, it's still a tough year for women. Mm-hmm. It's a tough year for people of color in other categories. Mm-hmm. We don't see a lot of Latinos making films. We don't see at least major motion pictures that are backed by studios. You know, the diversity is growing. The Academy came out of last year's protests with a desire to expand the membership. A lot of people point to the membership of the Academy as being part of the problem. Right. It is 92% or was 92% white. And they, I think, had their largest incoming class this last year, almost 50% of which were people of color. So the Academy is taking steps to expand that, whether that will translate into more diversity and representation among future Academy Awards.
Time will tell.
We
are concluding our first half of our Oscar special, but when we come back, we got to walk out of here with a list of films to watch. So we will hit that point next. Today, my guest is KTEP's host of On Film, Charles Horak.